The word here, to prove, is a very interesting word. It actually is a word, some of your translations have it, means to approve the will of God. It doesn't mean that somehow you and I are the ones who give approval for what God's doing on the earth. It doesn't mean that at all. But let me illustrate it this way. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. When there's a verse like this that is so familiar, the temptation for me, if I'm sitting where you are, is I know it by heart, so I don't need to look at it. But I will often go the extra mile because I want to be re-exposed to what I might be overly familiar with. Sometimes intentionally looking it up in a different translation. I want it to rattle my thinking so I don't get stuck in my thinking. So here he says, don't be conformed to this world, be transformed. I think maybe my favorite illustration of this word transformed is found in Luke chapter 9, where Jesus takes a few of the guys and they go up on a mountain. And the Bible says he is transfigured before them. Imagine going to a prayer meeting and you're dozing off. It's a long prayer meeting. It's one of them all-nighters. Jesus loves these all-nighters. And all of a sudden, Jesus turns into this transformed person. It says that he looked other. He looks different. But not only that, it says his clothing is as lightning. So you're sitting here dozing off. All of a sudden, Jesus is dressed in lightning. How many think it might wake you up from a boring prayer meeting? That's what happened to the guys right here. They are in this moment where suddenly they see, and that's why they're so inspired to build tabernacles, you know, for Moses, Elijah, and Jesus. It's this moment where they are electrified literally by what they are seeing. Jesus clothed in lightning. That word, transfigured, where Jesus is transfigured, is this word here, transformed. Wow. It's just an idea, but it's my personal conviction. The renewed mind looks like Jesus dressed in lightning in the spirit world and the unseen world. The renewed mind is so unique and so distinct. It's not passive. It's not subtle. It is brilliant. As it illustrates the heart and the mind of God for planet Earth. He still has a plan for this planet. And you're a part of it. So here it is. Don't be conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove the will of God, that which is good, acceptable, and perfect. What is the will of God? Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Say it with me. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Say it again. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What does the renewed mind do? It proves the will of God, heaven on earth. That's amazing. That's amazing. The renewed mind. See, some of what we think is going to come at the return of Christ is supposed to come in the renewed mind of Christ. The transformation of a person's life is no greater than the transformation of their mind. It's the reason the word repent means to change the way you think. He's targeting not just merely the discipline of right thoughts, which has value. He's talking about living from the perception of reality that is greater than everything you can see, which is inferior. This world... Paul teaches in Romans, this world, everything you can see, is temporal. What you can't see is eternal. Faith functions out of the eternal towards the temporal, towards that which is the greater reality, towards the inferior reality. The renewed mind lives conscious of that. Now, this word here says that you may prove the will of God, that which is good, acceptable, and perfect. I remember growing up, I would hear people teach on the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. There was a perfect, there was a good, and there was an acceptable will. No, those are three terms for the same thing. Don't try to skim by. I'm going to do the acceptable will of God. It's just permissible. No, slap yourself. That's stupid. But the word here, to prove, is a very interesting word. It actually is a word, some of your translations have it, means to approve the will of God. It doesn't mean that somehow you and I are the ones who give approval for what God's doing on the earth. It doesn't mean that at all. But let me illustrate it this way. Let's say that you just received an inheritance of a great estate in Europe somewhere. This should make you happy. Start fantasizing with me here. You just received notice that you've just inherited this vast estate. Amen. Big castle, lots of acreage, lots of animals for hunting on my estate. On yours, it's just a zoo. It's all right. I'm not offended. So we hear the news and we arrange to fly and we fly back we come to the estate and the people in charge take us and they show us what belongs to us. We stay there for, several weeks just kind of processing what's ours and scouring over the grounds and what's in the castle. And you go up into this attic area and you see that there's a lot of stuff there that's been stored, and you look over in the corner and here's about 6 to 8 different pieces of art, paintings. And you start peeling through them, and one stands out to you just so noticeably. And you look down in the corner, and there's this signature that says Van Gogh. And you don't know if this is a copy, counterfeit. You don't know if it's real. You don't know. You look at this, or you pull it out, and you think, man, I need to find out if this is the real deal. And so you call me. Because in this story, I'm the Van Gogh expert. When you tell the story, you can be whoever you want, but I am the Van Gogh expert. So you call me and you tell me, I've just inherited this estate, found a bunch of paintings, some may have value, I'm not sure, but there's one that has the signature Van Gogh on the lower right-hand corner of that painting. And then I say, well, what does it look like? So you describe the painting. So, there's no record of a Van Gogh painting with that subject in it. And so tell me more. And finally, we arrange to have a meeting. And you bring to my studio where there's great safety and protection for all the art that's there. And I take 4 weeks and I study. I've studied every brushstroke of Van Gogh, every known painting. I've studied the medium. I've studied the oils that he used, the colors he would use, the subject matter. I know his life backwards and forward. I'm really fluffing myself up in this one. I'm feeling so good about myself in this moment. I'm going to go buy an art book when we're done. No. But I've studied literally every brushstroke, every bit of his personality that was displayed in every one of his paintings. I do the carbon tests on the canvas, on the paint, everything. And I call you to my studio and I say, this is what I've done for the last 4 weeks. And I am 100% certain this is an authentic Van Gogh painting, one that nobody knew existed. Suddenly, the piece of art that might be worth $100 is now worth in excess of $100 million. What happened? After thorough examination, I approved. I Romans 12'd it. Let's say that you get a report from the doctor and you've got something going on That's just not good. Not good news. Not a good report. And a really good friend of yours, a strong, pure living, passionate lover of Jesus, calls you one day and says, "Hey, I had a dream last night. Jesus came to me in the dream, and he told me to tell you, he's given you this affliction for a brief season. He will then heal you, and it will be glorious." 2 weeks later, you get another dream from a friend who calls you, and they say, "I had a dream last night. Jesus came to me in the dream, and he told me to tell you, this disease is not from him, and he will set you free." What just happened? You were given two pieces of art, both with Van Gogh written on the bottom, but they're not both authentic paintings. So what you do is you go to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you examine every brushstroke. Every brushstroke. And without rejecting the individual that had the contrary dream, without shaming or spitefully speaking to them, we embrace one and we put down the other. And we say, after thorough examination by the Word of God and the Spirit of God who lives in me, I would like to declare, I approve. This is the will of God. This is the authentic painting. That's what it means. You and I have opportunity and responsibility to illustrate the heart and mind of God. I have pastors will come to me fairly often, and they'll ask me a question, or they'll write me or call me or whatever, friends, and they'll say, "Bill, how do I want to increase the miracle level in my own life? I want to increase the level of miracles in our church. What do I do?" And so there's several things that, you know, that I've practiced and still am practicing to see greater and greater breakthrough. And I'll tell them just about my own journey. I'll talk to them oftentimes about just being in the environment of the Anaheim Vineyard in 1987 and how I came home with something I didn't go with. I came home with an anointing that began to display itself that next week, and I had never seen it before in my life. And it wasn't through laying on of hands, it's by being in the atmosphere. And I'll tell them my story. But then I'll say at the end, I say, "But if you want the shortcut," and who doesn't like shortcuts? "If you want the shortcut, just go with Randy Clark to Brazil." Just go with Randy Clark to Brazil. You will see in a week more miracles than Holy Ghost-filled, faith-filled, believing believers see sometimes in a lifetime. You'll see in a week. I remember one time I got there like 2 days after this thing had started, and Randy met with me, and we were talking about what had been happening, and he said, "Man," he says, "we're in this meeting. It was like 9,000 people in this Coliseum stadium," and he said 8,000 of them got healed. 8,000. 8,000. And one of the stories, he said. I think it was him doing the praying. He just prayed, "God, let the wind of the Spirit," or something like that, "just fall upon the deaf." There was a deaf section, and there was this. He was in this big tent, and the wind blew and lifted the flap of the tent, and rain outside came into the tent and landed on the deaf section, and a whole bunch of deaf people just got healed, just like that. Now, so let's put this in practical terms. You and me, we're there. All right. And you go to the first meeting, and you had prayed specifically, "God, I want to see tumors disappear. I want to see cancer disappear." So you go to the first meeting. Somebody comes up to you. They've got a big old growth on their neck. You pray. It disappears. And then somebody comes up to you, and a woman says, "I was just diagnosed with breast cancer." She lays her hand on her own breast. You put your hand on top, and you pray a simple prayer, and she begins to probe and find out it's completely gone. And the next day, the same thing. And the next day, and the next day, and the next day, same thing happened. How many know after about 10 of those experiences, you're looking for tumors. You didn't look for them before you went, but since you entered into a flow of the mind of Christ, I could call it any number of things, the flow of the Spirit of God, the demonstration of the power of God, it would all be true. But for this illustration, you stepped into a demonstration of the mind of Christ. And suddenly, you are thinking different. Why? Because the Word of God, the Spirit of God, and your personal experience illustrates what it is to have a renewed mind. And all three of those things are necessary for you and for me to live with a renewed mind. Yes, amen. Amen. I think that's pretty much it. Why don't you stand? The renewed mind illustrates, demonstrates, manifests, and approves of heaven on earth. We see it with the deaf ears that open. We see it with the new idea for an expansion of a business. We see it in the key to reconciliation in that broken family. He manifests in so many different ways, but it's always to his glory and to our strength. Don't be conformed to this world. I don't like when people try to stand out. But if you're going to have the mind of Christ, you will stand out. I don't like the attention thing, you know. But maybe that's why in James he said wisdom with meekness. Maybe that's why he said with wisdom. Listen, with wisdom, you're going to be brokering my world into this one. Just stay low as you do it. Restrained strength. Restricted or directed strength. So, Father, that's my prayer for us. Put your hands out in front of you or on your heart or something, but let's just take a moment to pray. Father, that's my cry. It's our cry together for our family online that watches from all over the world. We bless them. We pray that together there would be this corporate illustration, this corporate experience of the mind of Christ in ways we've never known, the true wisdom of God in ways we've never known. We do pray on earth as it is in heaven. God, we love your will. We pray on earth as it is in heaven. Inspire the dreams. Help us to deal with the little offenses and the things that just seem to creep up now and then. Just help us to be a people that just give up our right to be offended. Give up our right to be offended. We want to embrace fully the mind of Christ. I pray this in Jesus' name.